Hello. Well, it is glad to see you. I do know quite a good number of faces here, people here. But if you don't know me, like Mel said, my name is Ola. So I've come from Grace Church in Chichester. So I'm part of the team there. But it is an honor and a privilege to be here this morning and to be able to speak and, you know, do life together. I'll tell you what happened this morning. I actually thought that you guys start at 10. So I get my family together. Come on, guys, we gotta go. We're going to Avant. We're not Chichester this time around. It's a bit of a drive compared to Chichester. So let's get going. So we arrived here just about 9 o'clock-ish. And then we got in and, well, we met Gordon and Neil, and they were just about to start setting up. Well, I thought, well, that reminded me those days back in the school in Chichester when we used to do that together. And it felt good, really. So we helped and, you know, set up everything, and it was good. It was good to do that, really. And then it got to about some minutes to 10. I looked, nobody was in. So I went to Gordon. Gordon, what's going on? What time do we normally start? I said, 10:30. I said, really? Oh, okay. I didn't know. So, well, it was a good thing. It's a good thing to be here. But yeah, I'm glad to be here. But to be quite honest with you, I don't even know where to start. It's been awesome this morning. The worship, wasn't that amazing? Yeah. It was beautiful. Art to be able to play and sing at the same time. And the words that came this morning, they were amazing. Please do not take words like that lightly. All right? It's from the throne of heaven. God has gifted people here. And they come out and they share. And yeah, it's from the throne. What Mel was talking about. Because, you know, sometimes we look at Christ, Jesus, and a lot of us actually see him as that lamb. But he is glorified now. We come to him. It's good to see him. But the minute you become a Christian, honestly, revelation is the way you need to see Christ. Glorified, powerful, awesome. And therefore, that encourages you to step out in faith for the things that he's calling you to do, knowing that you've got the maker of the heaven and earth, the creator God, the all-powerful God behind you to do the things that you need to do. And I believe we haven't started in heavens. I was just praying as I was sleeping. I said, no, we haven't started. This church is going to grow. It's going to be massive. But we've got to do our part. And it's part of the things we're going to look at today. We've got to be a community out there for Christ and be bold enough to step out and do the things that we need to do. Then we start to see people being saved. Then we see life transformed, people running to Christ. But we've got to do our part, like the old church did, and which we're going to look into today. So, Mena said it well. We are still in the book of Acts, and this morning, we're looking at true community. That is us, and that's what we're striving to be. You know, no matter what happened, a true community, what I've realized that true community does not just happen. No. People just say, come on, let's make up a community. No, no. Usually, something comes forth first to bring out that true community. To see a true community, something massive, remarkable would have happened in the lives of the people. And the people are transformed. And then they match on with that power and authority. So, it is not just formed from the air. Most often than not, something remarkable would have happened that develops into a true community, like we're going to see in the passage today. We're going to be continuing that book. And if you have not been here in the last couple of weeks, or if you've been here, I'm just going to give us a quick recap. So if you've not been here in the last couple of weeks, this is a recap of what's happened that got us to this stage of the book of Acts. Okay? So in the last couple of weeks or so, you would have heard how Jesus and his disciples, you know, go, that Jesus said to them not to leave. He said, wait till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He said, wait till you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Wait till you're endowed with power from high. That's the way the Bible puts it. 2 weeks ago, and then we saw the disciples actually being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the remarkable things that happened afterwards. The way the Bible described it was, like I said, it's what seems like tongues of fire fell on each and every one of them. And the Spirit enabled them to the extent that all the people that were there from different tribes, different tongues, different nations, could hear them worshiping God in their own native dialect, in their own native tongues. And most were amazed when they saw that. But there were some that thought, now, this guy must have been drunk. I'm sure it's alcohol that he's doing all of this. Then last week, I'm sure you must have heard that we saw Peter obviously empowered and emboldened by the Holy Spirit. He stood up and then he explained the death, explained what happened, trying to connect the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ with the Old Testament prophecies and the prophets, and saying, this is what you're saying here. This is what is happening here. So then it was said that 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus and were added to them when Peter came out and said all of that. So we can see how a community is being developed. Now they're becoming bigger and they are becoming a community. So today, we're going to be looking into that community to see what we can glean from them, which could lead to a change in our attitude individually or corporately, or perhaps some slight adjustment here and there. One thing that is clear is that it is important for us to recognize that we cannot achieve this in our own power. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, and we cannot do this on our own. You know, the minute I learned, when Joe told me I was preaching on this topic, true community, the first thing that came to my mind was a popular Nigerian saying, and he has his different diversity across the African continent, and I'm sure a lot of you probably must have heard it before. And it says, it takes an entire village to raise a child. You know, the village in this proverb refers to a community of people who have a shared responsibility in the development of a child. The intersectional dynamics allows the child to be exposed to a wide range of knowledge, experience, and outlooks, which helps the child to be well-nurtured and balanced, emphasizing the importance of communal living. Community is something we all long for, whether we admit it or not, because we're not created to walk through this life alone. God designed us to live in relationship with Him and with one another. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 says, the Lord God said, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper. From the word go, God knew and God realized that I did not create you to be alone. You need people, you need community, you need people around you to do this world. Sadly, we live in a world that is more connected, yet more isolated. Yeah. You know, with social media, with TikTok and all of that thing, it's a very global village. It's easy to talk and chat to somebody that is far away. But the truth of the matter is there's no community. It's very isolated. At the end of the day, you see people, with all sorts of isolation and they're so, mental health disease and what have you. But the truth of the matter is because the true community is missing. There's something that is very important in that. And that is that our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So what we're looking to do this morning, we're looking to look at the passage and then to explore three main characteristics of what the first generation church, what they did and what we can actually learn from them. So, if you have your Bible with me, will you please, let's turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 42 through to verse 47. And if you haven't got your Bible with you, it's displayed at the back there if you want to read along with me. So Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The first thing we're going to look and try and get from this early Christian is the fact that they were devoted. They were devoted people. And our devotion is a strong word, isn't it? I mean, it means love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person or activity. You know, the verse 42 of the passage we just read says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. I guess the question is, what makes anybody devoted? What made these particular men and women devoted? What happened to them? Because you just don't get devoted just like that. You know, even when you think about a marriage between a man and a woman, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of working in. Something happened initially, obviously, to get them together, but it takes a lot to get to that point of total devotion. So, what happened to these guys? Okay, I'll tell you, the simple answer is they had an encounter with God. And they were totally transformed from inside out, like we've been singing today. Their hearts changed from a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And we have to remember that these were ordinary men and women going about their ordinary lives until they encountered God. And their life changed completely. I mean, they met with God the Son, Jesus, who told them all about God the Father and introduced them to God the Holy Spirit, who transformed their hearts and empowered them to do all manner of things. And they became devoted to this God. I'm not sure you grabbed that. Thank you. So they met with God the Son, Jesus, this loving Son. And then he told them about God the Father. He told them how loving this Father is, this Father that will send his Son, his one and only Son, to come and die for you and I, that our sins might be forgiven, that we may have that opportunity to come boldly before him and ask him of anything and talk to him of anything and be a son and a daughter to him. And then he introduced us to the Holy Spirit, saying, do you know what? You can't do it of your own accord. Now that I've introduced you to the Father, he will give you his Spirit that dwells in you, that now enables you to be a community, to do all sort of manner of things, to embolden you, to encourage you, to do all that you can, and then match on in that might. So that is what happened to these guys. I mean, when we were first introduced to Peter in the Gospels, we can see Peter loved Jesus, even in the Gospel. It was obvious he loved Jesus, but he didn't know how to express this love. You know, even though we could see that he loved Jesus, but we also saw that he was timid about it. He didn't really know how to go about this love. He had, you know, the love he had for Jesus, to the extent that he had to deny Jesus Christ when Jesus was captured. You know, and it wasn't just him. He said of all the disciples, they were all scattered when Jesus Christ was actually captured. Until Christ, after his resurrection, went back to them and called them back together and said, okay, guys, it's obvious that you know you can't do this in your own might. Stay in one place, wait till the Father releases the Holy Spirit to you. Then you will be my witnesses into heavens, into the uttermost part of the earth. So the key thing that makes us devoted to be a true community, we need God's empowerment. We need his presence, we need his empowerment, and that brings us together. And therefore, we can then be his witnesses and be true communities that he's called us to be. So we meet these guys here, having been transformed by the Holy Spirit. And what we notice about them is that they were not just casual attendees. They were fully committed. They reveal to us the true community. That the true community is not just about showing up. is about being all in, which means prioritizing spiritual growth, godly relationships, and shared pursuit of God. That's what they showed us. And that devotion to Him, and because of the encounter. So if there's anyone here, I'm going to put that out there here, that you've not given your life to Christ, you haven't encountered Christ, please do not leave here without that, because that's what transforms you to be a true community. You need that empowerment to truly enjoy this community and be able to bring more people and pull more people in. So that's the first thing that we need, that needs to be done before we get devoted. And this verse, the verse that we just read, detailed what they were committed to. They were devoted to the Word of God. That's the first thing he told us that they were devoted to. It's not. There we go. So they were devoted to the Word of God. So they studied and followed the teachings of the apostles. The Word was very important to them. They prioritized the pursuit of the Word, its complete understanding, and its correct application. It is well worth noting, pointing out here, that the Bible as they have it today was not what they had at a point in time. No, that's why he said they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Because all that they had as their Word was the apostles' teaching, recounting all of their experiences with Jesus Christ, our Lord. And bringing in the Old Testament that they know and the prophets. And that's all they were devoted to. So all of that put together is what makes up the Bible that we have today. But at the time of this first early church, all they had to listen to were the apostles recounting their experiences with Lord Jesus Christ. So, but they were devoted to that. They wanted to know more. Tell me more. What did he say? So that was, it was key. And what can drive anybody to that part, again, goes to the fact that there's been a transformation that's happened on their heart. They met with Christ and they know all they want to do is live their life for this Christ, whatever it takes. And therefore, they were devoted to these words, the Word of God. Second thing they were devoted to was fellowship. They built deep, meaningful relationships with one another, being there for one another in all aspects of their lives, whatever bothered one, bothered all. They did life together. They realized they were stronger together, and they realized the strength was not just in their number, but in the strength of their unity with the help of the Holy Spirit. So how united are we? Unity is important. And unity with one another, caring for one another, doing life together, meaningful relationship. Or we just come to church and then all this, and then we go, or do we get stuck in? Do we do those things and get to know them better and pray for that person and encourage that person and just do life together, inviting one another to each other's house? That's why we're here. If we know the reason why we're here, if we're gathered because of Him, who's touched the heart of every one of us, then we do it. We do it together. And I think sometimes we don't want to, a lot of time, which is human, we try to I don't know that person, I don't know how to do it. But if you're doing it for Christ, you know what? You're doing it for Him, for the love of Him. You're not here because of them, you're here because of Him. And if you've had an encounter with Him, that won't bother you. You keep marching on for Christ, and God will help us by His Spirit. You know, it says in Psalms 133, I love this psalm, it says, how good and how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. He went on to say, it is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. He said, for there the Lord bestows His blessings, even life forevermore. In the community, when people live together in unity, that's where God's blessings is. God loves unity. He's particularly united in Christ. He pours down His blessings and life is there. Everlasting life is in the, united with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and united together in one accord. That's, remember, the Bible, when the Holy Spirit came on these guys, that's what he said. He said the disciples were together in one accord, praying. And then the Holy Spirit came. So there's something about that. Being united together in Christ and with one another. Then we're going to see the power of God moves. Then we want to see the presence of God. There is where eternal life is. And that's where people will want to come in and like, I like what these guys have got. I want one of that. That's people will look from the outside and want to be a part of you for that reason. So fellowshipping together is so key. The other thing they did is breaking of bread, which we're going to be doing today. We got Holy Communion at the end of the preach. We should get into that. So he said, breaking of bread. Their focus was on the person that made all of this happen and the event that led to it happening. So they shared meals and took communion together, remembering Jesus. Jesus Christ being the focus of it all. That's why they broke bread. They remember what he's done. That it's through this blood of Jesus Christ that they all can gather here and be united in the things that they do. So they do regularly, remembering that, bringing that to the focus. Because it is easy sometimes when we gather to get distracted and talk about other things, which is good, doing life together. But we should remember the reason why we came together in the first instance, which is Christ Jesus. And that's why when we break bread, and pray the focus on that and bring in his presence, his power that we need to do our lives and do life together, bringing in the focus of all that we do. The second key characteristics that we can see from this group of people, again, is that they were generous and they were selfless. Selfless. Verse 44 of our passage says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. I mean, that is just a radical picture of generosity. Now, I'm not telling anyone to go and put their house in the market and say, okay, well. But obviously, we can learn a lot from this, that they were ready to lay their lives down for others, to actually sacrifice, to make sure that others, everyone who is a brother or sister in Christ, get their needs being met. They were ready to sacrifice for that. And that is very, very generous of them. So they didn't just care about their own needs. They made sacrifices to care for others. I mean, well, our culture today, we're often tempted to hold tightly to what we have. But the early church, through these verses, teaches us that true community means holding everything loosely so that we can bless others. And that this is the marking of a true community, being a blessing to others. And you can bless others in different forms. But obviously, these are examples describing some of the things that they did. In our own day, there are things that we can't do. We might not go to the extent of what they did, because obviously the times that we live in, but there are certain things that we can do and we can actually learn from them. So some of the things that we can do, financial generosity, this is supporting others, those in need financially, investing your money in the right place, investing it in the kingdom of God. You know, giving, making sure, you know, that all through the Bible, it talks about giving to the church so that the kingdom of God may continue. Now, if you're one that you don't do that, I'll encourage you to do that. It comes with so much blessings that you have no clue. It does not make sense mathematically. Physically, it doesn't make sense. But spiritually, it makes loads of sense. If you look throughout the Bible, from the word go, even before it became a thing as a law, Abraham gave. He gave a tenth. Because he understood the spiritual things. He worked with God and realized, actually, to get more, to keep on being blessed, you have to keep sowing the seeds. Now, the Bible talks about God gives, you know, he gets seeds to the sower and food to those that are going to eat. So God knows, just like a farmer, you need to plant. If you eat everything you get from the plant, you don't sow back in, next year you have nothing. So what we do is that, spiritually, when we do that. We get and we take a part of it, not God's first, then everything else. I can do whatever I want to do with it, but this is God's. And therefore, he keep bringing the fruits, harvesting, on and on. So it is key that we do that. I mean, it says Matthew 6, from verse 19 to 21. Say, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. I love that last part. It shows, yeah, have we given our life to Christ? That says a lot. If our heart is there to him, then that's where we probably want to put our treasure in. That's where we want to sow, because that's where our heart is. That's where our treasures also will be. Other ways we can bless people. We can bless people with time and with our time and our resources. That means we can be generous by offering our time and resources to help others, lending a helping hand, and being present and committed to church programs and to others. So we're there. We're not just, you know, some other people would do it. I tell you what, sometimes that happens. It's amazing, obviously. Here, Avant, you guys are amazing. You come in, you know, this needs to be set up. People come in and do that. Sometimes we get into that in Chichester now because we've got a building. And people say, well, others would do it. Come on, no. We're all in there together. If I don't do it, it will never get done. That's the truth. That's the mentality we should have. Ready to do, ready to be there and make that difference and touch that lives and being able to, you know, you don't need for Thomas to tell you what that person is suffering. You can pick it up as part of the church. Oh, I can see that my sister actually, let me go and pay a visit. Let me go and spend a bit of time and give a bit of my resources to that. That's what makes us brothers and sisters together in Christ. And these guys did that. From what we read, it's obvious they did that. Other ways you can be a blessing is, again, you can give your emotional generosity. Now, this is being generous with your listening skills. And I tell you, this is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to do. To just listen, just be there and listen to somebody. Let them just rant and do and just not say anything. A lot of times we want to come in, want to give our own wisdom and, you know, pour what we are, preferred solutions. But sometimes all we need to do is just let them rant, let them talk and just listen. You know, I remember going for one of the leadership training, and this is one of the activities that we did, that we just have to listen to somebody and they're just going to tell you and listen to them for about 15 minutes. I'll tell you what, it was difficult. You just want to come in and then you have to keep yourself, we have to keep quiet. So it is not an easy thing to do. Just listen, let them talk. You know, because all they might need at one time is just a listening ear that just listens to them, and that's more than enough. So again, that's emotional generosity. So let's do that. It's also encouraging others. So there are times that they need our encouragement. No, you know you can do this. You got God with you. All those things that we can do and we can say that to them. It is part of our emotional generosity as well. And a lot of us are gifted in different areas. So use your gifting in those areas. If you know you're gifted in that particular area, then be a help to people that need it and be there for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And together, we march on. The third thing that they did, that they were joyful and worshipping community. Verse 46 to 47 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. So they were joyful and a worshipping community. It is clearly obvious from the verses that they found joy in being together because of their common unifying bond, Jesus, and all that he represents to one and to all. They had a common goal, to worship Jesus and to see him lifted up and glorified in all the earth. So they gathered in temple for the worship and in homes for meals. The community wasn't just about obligation, it was filled with gladness and sincerity. It wasn't that, oh, we got to do it. They enjoyed it because there was joy that the Holy Spirit brings in the heart. And they gathered together and had fun together and enjoyed themselves in the presence of God. And this shows us some very important things about a true community that we also can continue to strive as we meet together. That they are a community that community isn't a burden, it's a blessing. True community isn't a burden, it's a blessing. Worship and joy go hand in hand as well. And that when we truly love one another, our faith becomes attractive to others. And that's true. And that resulted in the last verse. And it says, and the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved, because they enjoyed each other's company. It was attractive. Other people wanted to be a part of it. People were like, what's going on with those guys? I just love what they do. I love how they gather, how they smile at each other, how they're there for one another. Genuinely, not just out of obligation, because they loved one another. And other people want to come in. And I tell you, the truth is that the true community is one of the most powerful testimonies we can reveal to the world. When people see who we are, how we are, they want to come in. They want to be a part of it. No, there's so many people that give their testimony about that. They just come in and like, I said, these people have got something. I want that too. And they want to be. And then they get to meet with Christ. That attracts them in. And then they learn more about the reason why we're joyful. The reason why, like Joe said the other way, happy clappy, is simply because they have met with Christ. They have the love of God on the inside of them. And that's what we should, as a true community, should strive to do. We can learn from these guys and continue to do that. I mean, 3,000 people in one day. Now, that is remarkable. All they did just came in there, like witness, and like they were told, okay, oh, what should we do? We said, well, give your life to Christ. That is the reason why we are like this. Give your life, and that's it. And the Bible also talks that as they went on the daily, the people were attracted to them. Many were giving their lives to Christ, wanting to be a part of this remarkable thing that God is doing. So when people see Christians who are genuine, loving, generous, and joyful, they are drawn to Jesus. So I guess the question we should be asking ourselves as individuals and as a people, as a community of God, as a church, is how committed to spiritual growth are we? Are we totally sold out to God's word, to prayers? When they call for prayers, we've got prayers this evening. When they call for prayers, are we there to pray? We're praying to see God's kingdom come. We're praying because we know we need to get direction from Him to do the things we want to do. We can't do it of our own accord. So we need to seek His face to see what He wants us to do. And therefore, we can then match on with that, knowing that that's what the Father wants us to do. And therefore, we'll see results if we align our will to His will, like Jesus Christ taught us. He did that. Not my will, but your will be done. Then we see remarkable things happen. And that we can get in the place of prayer. When we pray, we seek God's face, we hear from Him, we know where He wants us to go. We go with it with power and with confidence, knowing that we're doing the Father's will, not our own will. And therefore, He will see it done. He will definitely see it done if it's His will that we're doing. So, are we committed to that, committed to prayers? Are we committed to fellowshipping with God and with one another? Looking out for others, making sure that, yes, we're all getting there together, seeking God's face. Or we just want to do our own thing. And the truth is that they found out they couldn't do it alone, that they were stronger together with the help of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we need to keep pursuing that as well, stronger together. Let's do it together. Let me invite this person. Let me get this one in too. Let's do this together. And God is leading us to do this. Let's go and let's do it together. And again, are we intentional about our relationship, or do we just attend church for attending's sake, or are we building deep, lasting friendships that is eternally focused? Are we practicing generosity? Do we look for ways to serve, to give, and to support others? Are we constantly looking, or are we waiting for some people to tell us first before we do, or we think about, you know what, if I love God, then I should be able to do something. I'm sure I can do that. Can I do this? Can I help with that? I'm thinking we can do this. Should we do that? That's what they were doing. Nobody was telling them to go and sell their houses. They were doing it because they were moved to just want to see God's work done. And now we're making joy, the joy of the Lord and the worship of Him our priority. A lot of us get bogged down these days as well. Things of the world. Again, we get into social media and we've got, well, I apologize, that's not the Bible, but let's say that's the Bible. We've got the Bible to guide and direct us. But some of us look onto those things to be what leads us. And no, we should be the one dictate, showing the world how to live, not the other way around. Give them the examples of what it truly means to live for Christ and to enjoy this life. And there, well, we a lot of us go there and look for, oh, this is what they're doing now. Maybe we should do it this way. No. They should be looking into us to see how it should be done. And God, by His Spirit, will help us all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And then, so obviously, there will be some things, I'm sure, that we're doing exceptionally well. So this is not, and I'm sure there are so many things, getting, stocking in. But there are things we can learn from these guys. So the whole idea is for us to pick those things and apply that to the things we do and improve. You know, again, we individually, we can ask ourselves, we know, no matter what anybody says, we know what we're doing right and what we can improve on. So let the Holy Spirit minister to our heart that we can then improve on the things that we know God is asking us to improve on. Now, I used to say to people, you can't say well done to somebody, but the true person that knows is the person, because God can give you capacity of 5. And you might be amongst the people that have got capacity of 1. You're only doing to 3, and everybody say, oh, well done. But you know, actually, you've got capacity for much more. But only you would know that. And God that gave you those capacity, the skills and the capacity to do that as well. So let's look inwards and let's make Avant what God is calling it to be. You know, it's made to be a great place where people gather, where people run in to look for succor, to look for help, to look to feel safe in. And the Lord will do it. I believe so. I strongly believe so. I've seen a picture. I know. I've seen a picture of Avant. It's going to be massive. But we got to be ready as well to do the work.